This is an interview with Barry Kellett from the Rutherford Appleton Laboratory. For the full show, go to geocast.net.
Thank you, Barry, for being with us today.
It's a pleasure.
So tell us a little bit about the what you're working on now. Well, perhaps remind us, what was Smart One? Just in a few sentences, what was Smart One and what did it do?
Okay, Smart One was ESA's first technology demonstration mission. It allowed scientists like myself to practice, to develop an instrument and test it. But now we want to do the real thing. We actually want to fly the instrument for real and do real science with it. So that's what we're going to be doing very soon.
So what was the demonstrator technology that you were demonstrating with Smart One?
Okay, so I should say Smart One actually went to the moon. It was the technology to demonstrate ion propulsion, but we flew a very small X-ray instrument to try and work out what the moon was made of. Unfortunately, when Smart One went, the sun, which is our main source of X-rays, was switched off, essentially. And so now we're going to fly on an Indian mission, the follow-up instrument to our original Smart One instrument. It's called KIX, spelt C1XS, which stands for the Chandrayaan-1 X-ray spectrometer, and it will figure out what the moon's made of, or at least the top 100 microns of the moon, which is what we can sense with our X-ray instrument.
So Smart One demonstrated the ion propulsion technology. You built the instruments that were on Smart One, and you're currently building the instruments for KIX. What are you going to learn?
The plan is to do global maps of the moon in pure elements, i.e. the distribution of rock-forming elements on the surface of the moon. So we will do global maps of magnesium, aluminium, silicon, and then it's the maybe list, which is things like calcium, titanium and iron, which we probably won't get global maps, but we'll get a good idea where they come from on the moon as well.
And what will knowing the relative abundances of these elements tell us about the moon?
The fundamental thing that we're trying to measure is something called the magnesium number. It goes back to when the moon was formed. When the moon was formed, it formed from a collision between the Earth and something, probably a Mars-sized object that hit the Earth when it was very, very young. The moon formed out of the debris that was formed from that. The next bit after that is the sort of the dot, dot, dot that we're trying to fill in. The one idea is that the entire moon melted, and therefore you take two elements like magnesium and iron. Magnesium is light, iron is heavy. So the ratio of these two elements tells you whether or not the moon was really a magma ocean, as it's called, this molten rock. And so the ratio of magnesium to iron for the whole of the moon is a measure of what happened to the moon after it was formed, which is what we're trying to find out.
So we're going to learn about how the moon formed. Now, we remember that Smart One had a very spectacular end. It was on purpose crashed into the moon. Any similar future for KIX?
I guess the Chandrayaan mission will end, and whether it ends in the same spectacular way, I don't know yet. It's the Indians who'll be doing the steering for us for that. But hopefully, yes, we'll get a lot of science before that point.
So you're here today at the celebration of the 50th anniversary of the launch of Sputnik. What does Jodrell Bank Observatory and the Lovell Telescope mean to you?
It's one of my other hats that I have to wear. I study stars before I studied the moon. I did X-rays from stars. Strangely enough, X-rays from stars and the radio emission from stars actually correlate. So if you want to find out the best radio stars, you ask an X-ray astronomer first, because he knows in advance what you're going to see. And so I've been lucky enough to use the Murray Telescope twice now to observe different stars, and we're really fascinated and impressed with the results that we've got from Merlin and Jodrell Bank.
What can we learn about the radio emission from stars?
It tells you about the magnetic environment around the star, which the X-rays do as well, but it tells you details of the physics that's going on around the stars, and we've discovered a new way of making radio by studying the X-rays, strangely enough. And so what we think is going on is that the stars have a very strong magnetic field, a bit like Jupiter, in fact. And Jupiter is a radio source. Many stars are radio sources in exactly the same way that Jupiter is. And that's what we're trying to study, trying to understand.
So the magnetic field around stars is a huge study in itself. What will we learn about the magnetic fields around these other stars? And how does that sort of impact our understanding of how stars are made and formed?
Basically, the stars are very strong fields. They tend to be young stars. So we're studying the early stages of star formation and the early stages of a star being on the main sequence, as it's called. Stars are young, are rotating rapidly. They have a very fast dynamo, which makes the magnetic field. But we can't see magnetic fields normally. You need something, astronomers need photons, and X-ray photons or radio photons. They help us understand and see this invisible magnetic field that's around the star.
So a man with many hats, we thank you very much for talking to us today about KIX and also your research about magnetic stars. Hope you enjoy the day.
A pleasure. Thanks very much.